Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is Eddie. Eddie C's down in Port St. Lucie, so he's down soaking up some sunshine. What's going on, Eddie?
I'd love to say it was sunshine, but it's actually raining and about 55, so not real good down
here. Wait, so it's 55 degrees there?
Yeah.
That's
a little chilly.
That's no fun.
Got a coat on today.
That is no fun.
No. Maybe better than snow.
I mean, it's better than snow. I need a better forecast for that. A better forecast, okay? I mean, so, it seems to me, okay, that Mick Callaway struggled last year a lot. Let's be honest. He struggled a lot. We talked about it plenty of times. It seems like he has really tried to turn over a new leaf. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought he was much more confident today, seemingly relaxed today. And I think part of that, too, is I think he knows they're a better and a deeper team than they were last year. But, I also think he had, I wouldn't say fences to mend, but, you know, he wasn't the best with the media last year. And I think...
What did you not... Listen, you're a veteran guy and easy to get along with. What was the part of his demeanor that you didn't like last year?
Well, I think, I'm sure he was pulled in a million different directions. And I think that, you know, he probably didn't find enough time in the day to do the things that he wanted to do because he seems to be, you know, a stickler for detail. So I understand that. And, you know, the other thing I think you have to realize, too, Mike, is that, you know, Terry was there for such a long time, and Terry had a great relationship with the press. You know, he would occasionally stop and shoot the breeze with us in the dugout. Mickey seldom did that. I don't think he made himself readily available in that regard. So, you know, it wasn't that, you know, people disliked him necessarily. It was just that, they found him hard to get close to or closer to. I think he's going to probably do a better job. It seems to me that he'll attempt to do a better job at that, this year. And it seems like he's starting out that way. He was pleasant today. And, like I said, he seemed confident and seemed relaxed today as well, too.
He did. Now, what about Riggleman? You think he and Riggleman will be a good match? Now, you and I both know Riggleman a long time. We know what a good guy he is. We know how easygoing he is. He's a no ego, good baseball man. You think he's a good fit to be his bench coach?
Yeah, I do. If Mickey was smart, he would attach himself to Riggs and, you know, and work as a tandem in that dugout. You know, Riggs has been in this situation before where he's, you know, been a bench coach or on a staff and he's taken over as an interim manager. Obviously, people have brought that up here. You know, if Callaway struggles, Riggleman
could happen. Could happen. And he did a great job last year when it happened, you know.
He did, in Cincinnati. There's no question about that. He was, and Mickey was asked about that today, and he said, you know, listen, I want to surround myself with good people. Riggleman is. He's good people. He's a smart baseball guy. So, you know, I don't feel any pressure in that regard at all. Whether he does or doesn't matter, but that's what he said today. But, you know, it was interesting. The one thing that – there were a couple of things that came out of his press conference today. One was, you know, a conversation that he had with Riggleman when he was trying to explain a move that he had made last year. And Riggleman, like about 3 or 4 minutes into the explanation, said, stop. He says, you've been talking for 3 or 4 minutes. He says, don't overthink things. You know, and that's Riggs to a T. You know, don't make it, you know, a world problem here when you can, you know, just do what you feel. Do what you feel and what you think is best, and you go with that. You're never going to be able to explain everything away. Some people are not going to like the decision. Some people are. And Mickey went on to say that there were times last year when, he definitely overthought things. I think he probably, you know, despite being a manager for the first time, he was a pitching coach for a long time, and I think he thought like a pitching coach a lot of times and probably was concerned about, you know, pitching moves late in the game when he should have been thinking about something else. That's just my guess, but I think that's probably a natural thing. And he said he had time to, you know, stew over things, and he at times would, you know, he'd make things more complicated than what they were instead of just, and, you know, try to be creative when the simple way would have been the best way. So I think he learned an awful lot from that, and I think Wiggleman will be good for him in that regard.
All right, we're talking about Eddie C. Couple of things, Eddie. Number one, you haven't seen a lot of these guys. You saw McNeil last September. Now they're asking right. McNeil to go to the outfield. What do you think right. about that move?
Well, I think if he's going to play, that's where he's going to play.
He's got to play in the outfield, otherwise yeah. he doesn't play.
They have a crowded infield situation. Mickey said that as much today as well, too, that when he plays, he's going to play in the outfield. So, you know, it's not going to be, I think occasionally, you know, you might see him at second base or something in spring training, but.
Yeah, but Cano's going to play, you know that. One thing about Cano is Cano doesn't like to sit out. You know, I had Brody on, and Brody's telling me, well, you know, we don't want anybody to play more than like 140 games. I said, you tell Cano that? I mean, Cano wants to play every day. That's the one thing about him. Yeah. He doesn't like to come out of games.
150, 160, yeah. that's more like Cano. Yeah, I think, you know what's going to happen. Listen, when they have a split squad or they send, you know, an away game and Cano doesn't go, they might stick McNeil at second base.
But it sounds like he's going to have to hit and play in the outfield if he's going to hit.
Yeah, I just think, you know, he's such an interesting bat and a different
I like his offense, I do. And, you know, he makes sense in the outfield. And you know, Brody said against righties, I can see McNeil, Nimmo, and Conforto.
Sure.
I can see that, but then what do I see against lefties? I mean, am I going to see Lagares right. and I going to see Broxton both play?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen, although, you know, Mickey kind of dodged that question when he was asked today, you know, what's the starting outfield, or is Lagares going to be your starting center fielder, I think was the question that was asked to him. And what he said was, we have outfielders that can play multiple positions, okay? All right, well, we know that. But I think what's going to happen
well, you think,
is
do you look
depend-
at Nimmo as a platoon guy, or you look at him as an everyday
no.
player?
No, I think what he was saying was that I think it's going to depend on who's pitching that day, you know, who matches up well against that, and also, you know, he talked about late inning defense.
Well, how about lefties though? I mean, what happens against? Who do you think is going to play? I mean, are they going to play the right handed hitters in the outfield against lefties? Or are they going to play the lefties?
I think occasionally you will see Lagares and Broxton. And I think it depends on how Lagares plays down here, too. But I think you'll see that against lefties. But I do think that both of those guys will probably draw most of their time going in late in games.
Oh, gotcha.
You
okay.
know, if they have a lead.
So you think Nimmo and Conforto is an everyday player. You think Nimmo could be an everyday player?
Yeah. Yes, he can be. And I think he would be and will be. But both of them have got to hit lefties. You know, I mean, it's
they have to because there's too many lefties on this team. I mean, let's be honest.
I would agree.
Now, Frazier, do you think Frazier's got a chance to be an everyday player here, or is that going to be a hard thing for him to do?
I do because he's righty, but I do think it's going to be difficult if he can't respond and he doesn't play better than he did last year. You know, you can get buried, I think, pretty quick on this team if he kind of gets off to the start that he did last year, and he's hurt like he was last year. He was hurt a couple of times, missed you know, a good chunk of time. So, but I do think he's an interesting bat simply because he's right-handed and he can give you some pop that way, and I think they need that as well, too.
Because Lowry's going to have to play third base. He's going to have to.
Yes.
Because otherwise,
yes.
where's he going to play? He's either going to play first to third. He's not playing second or short.
Yeah, well, it was indicated because Callaway today said that, you know, Lowry will play some third, he'll play some second, he'll play some short. Now, short, that's, you know, when Rosario gets a day off, maybe
that's
one
fine. Cano and Rosario are not taking a lot of days off.
Right, yeah. I don't see Lowry playing. He's played a lot of second base the last couple of years. I don't see him playing a lot of second
no
base
way.
Here if he's going to play.
Not if Cano's here. And he even said, Brody even said, well, I can see Cano going over to first base. In game. I mean, I don't know if Cano's going to want to do that.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen Cano here. And, you know, I do think he'll play some first base down here. I think they'll get him acclimated to it. But I don't know if
Cano is very prideful of his second base play,
yeah,
you know.
He is.
Very prideful.
He is.
I mean, he knows he's a good second baseman. And
he's still a pretty good second baseman.
Yeah, he's
lost a step, but he
doesn't have the same range, but he's still got a killer arm, as you know, and he's a very good fielder. Cano's a really good second baseman. I mean, he's a very good fielder.
Yeah, what's interesting to me about that whole situation, Mike, is that, you know, I agree with you on Cano, and I also thought McNeil played a better second base than most people thought he would or could
last year.
I agree. So those, There's two guys there, and Lowry is the second baseman, but
by
he's
trade.
Not going to play there. So.
No, he's got to play third, and then Frazier's either going to play third or first.
For third or first, correct.
And then they got Alonso. Can he bang his way into the lineup?
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't think he's going to make the opening day lineup here. What'll make it very interesting is if he has a great spring. I mean, that's what they're hoping for. And that would mean, to me, a very short time down to AAA and he's going to be up. But again, that means whether he's, you know, if he's going to have a good spring here or not. Does he put too much pressure on himself? I don't know. Everybody seems to like the kid. I don't know him well, but in the times I've met him, he is a nice kid, and he works hard. I know that. And he's pretty determined to be here. So we'll see when...
Somebody told me he's a... So I won't say who. Somebody told me he's a stone lock to be on the team. That
really?
He's that good, that he's that good a hitter.
Breaking camp?
But the first 2 weeks, even if they want to fool with the date, he's that
right.
good a hitter. They
yeah.
said the defense, be careful. But they said offensively, yeah. he's a wrecking crew offensively.
Oh, he is. I don't think there's any question this kid is a 30 home run guy. You know, whether he will be right away.
Now,
they
said he's a butcher.
He's got power. He's gotten better from what I'm told. I haven't seen him here this year. We'll find out, but. He was challenged last year.
Yeah, I heard he's a total butcher. So, but I hear he's got a home run. The ball jumps off his bat.
Yes, he has that kind of bat. There's no question.
Let me get to DeGrom with you, Eddie. You know DeGrom better than anybody.
Yeah.
Do you think DeGrom is going to be okay if this doesn't happen at his timetable and to his liking? They placated him by giving him $17 million. They had to, but they gave him $17 million, so he's not making a couple of bucks. But listen, he could easily be making $30 million this year. He's making $17
million. Right.
Can he and his agent live with this right now? Can they slow play this, or are they going to be a little antsy about this?
I think that he is okay right now. And again, he and Brody are going to have a press conference tomorrow, so that'll be interesting. Yeah, I don't know if much is going to come of it, obviously, but they're meeting with us tomorrow.
Gee, a Brody press conference. What a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. I think
you're used to those. Brody likes those press conferences.
Oh, boy, yeah, he does. There's no doubt about that. I think Jacob is fine right now. I do now. If you tell me that this doesn't get done by opening day, is he going to be fine then? I think that will perturb him a little
bit. What do you think he wants?
That's, I do know this.
I mean, you want to break the bank? I mean, you know, right now the Mets have got to be nuts to negotiate with him because he's got all the cards. He's just coming off one of the great years of all time. I mean, he probably wants 5 years, right, minimum. He probably wants $30 million minimum, right?
I would think that they, to me, and knowing him a little bit, I think they could get it done for less than, say, $5 million, $150 million. That's
you
me.
Think they I could? Well, I tell you, that would be okay. If they did better than $5 million, $150 million, they can't complain because he's worth that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's the thing. You know, his song when he goes out to the mound is Lynyrd Skynyrd's "A Simple Man," and that's exactly what he is. Okay, he's kept that.
He's a simple rich man now, though. You know, that's the difference.
He will be. He will be that. But it's something interesting. I remember he said to me last year when we were talking.
Is he married? You know, is he a family guy, DeGrom?
He's married. He has a couple of kids.
All right. His wife's going to be a big player in this whole thing too. Then
he's a Florida guy, and what Jacob loves to do in the off season is go fishing.
Okay? Gotcha.
This a guy, and he is to me. He's a simple man.
He's not a flashy liver.
No,
but it doesn't matter. He's still going to make a lot of money right now.
He will make a lot of money, and you know, at one point he said to me last year, you know, because we were talking about the contract that time, you know, what would make him happy and et cetera, and you know, he said, look, he said, I'm confident in my abilities. As long as I'm healthy, he says, I know I'm going to make a lot of money after this season. This was in the midst of having a season last year, and he said, even if I don't sign a contract, I'll make a lot of money the next season as long as I'm healthy. And he will.
He
bumped from 7 to 17.
Right.
He's not going to have the season that he had last
year. But let's be honest. 17 right now, if he signs a contract, he's getting paid 30 right now.
Yeah, probably. But you know what, Mike? If he has not the season he had last year, but a good season, he might make 30 next year in arbitration if there was.
Well, no one's ever made that, but I mean, he might be the first, but he'll make mid 20s anyway.
He could, but that's, you know, to him, I think that's a lot of money there. That's, you know, you're talking almost.
But next year, he's going to want to lock it up. He's going to want to get. He's going to want to lock this up and get his years locked in eventually here. You know that. He's not young. He's not young. So that one contract does for life. So the question is, how much can the Mets save by maybe, you know, giving them that 5-year? And I don't know if they'd go 6 years. I wouldn't want to, but, you know, maybe do you go to 6th year and take the average dollar down to a decent number?
You know what I would do if I were them? I would go 5 years and a very makeable option for a 6th year, you know, based on innings pitched or whatever, you know, something that you could easily make and, you know, have the money kick in then, and basically it becomes a 6-year deal, not something that's hard to reach. Let's put it that way. So
he's
I
the
think
kind of guy the Mets want to keep around, though, right? He's the kind he's the kind of guy you want to keep here.
Honestly, you know, when I look at that clubhouse anyway, to me, the leaders with Wright gone are going to be Jacob and are going to be Conforto. Those are the two guys I think that you that you look towards as the, you know, the future. If they're, you know, they're both, well, Jacob's not as young as Conforto, but those are the two guys you look at pitching wise, and I think position player wise.
What do you think of Conforto's year last year? You know, he hit the 9 homers and had 30 RBIs in September, which made his year look a lot better than it really was. Do you think he needed a year to get healthy? Do you think this will be a different year this year?
Yeah, I do. I think he came back too soon. I think, you know, he probably rushed it. He probably didn't know it. And I say this all the time by Conforto. I never worry about him. He is such a level-headed kid, and he's got such a sweet swing that as long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to do damage. And I don't know whether he can, whether his whole year is going to be the September they had last year when he just crushed the ball. But I think he'll be fine, and I think he's going to put up numbers, and I think he's going to be an integral part of that lineup. I always viewed him as a number 3 hitter in the lineup at some point in time, and, you know, I think I guess he probably will be at some point.
I would think Cano hits 3 and Conforto 4 this year.
Maybe.
I think that's probably the way it goes against righties anyway. Against righties,
I think you'd have.
You know, they need a bopper. Who do you think leads off on this team?
Well, I think Nimmo would.
He's a good on base guy, so I can, even against lefties. Do you think he leads off against lefties?
Yeah, I think he'll be up there. You know, again, he's going to have to hit them, but you know, would he be up there? Yeah, I mean, you could put Lagares there too, but Nimmo has always been a good on base guy. I think you look at probably Lowry in the number 2 spot simply because he's a switch, and I think that's.
Put Cano in a 3, and then you could put Conforto in the 4.
You could do that, sure.
Yeah, I think that works. They just need some right-handed pop is what they need. Somebody's got to hit right-handed.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, I asked this of Mickey today, you know, what, because, you know, they want versatility. Every team wants versatility these days, and moving guys around. And I think it's going to happen with this team. There'll be a lot of different lineups, I think, because they're going to have to, you know, Frazier may play first one day, then again they may sit Lowry, he plays third, and so you're going to move people around. So I asked him about communicating that with the players, and he said to him, Callaway, that is the most important thing that I have to do this year is to communicate, which led me to believe that he probably didn't spend as much time in the locker room as he did before, but he's got to communicate to these guys, look, we're going to sit you today, but you're going to play boom, 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 these 3 games, et cetera. You know, they're going to have to plan this thing out a little bit if they want to move guys around like you think. You know, where's McNeil's going to play today? He's going to play left, he's going to play right, who's going to play center, that kind of thing, so the communication of that and making sure that guys are okay with it and that they don't feel left out, I think, is going to be one of the important things. And he agreed with that today, too.
We're talking with Eddie C about the Mets as they get ready to embark on this journey of the season. One of the keys is Wheeler. And this is like the kind of guy that makes or breaks your season. Is it Wheeler early, or is it Wheeler who was 10-1 in his last 15 starts with a 2.0 ERA? Is that the Wheeler we see? Is that the real Wheeler, or was that just a good run at the end of the season last year?
I would bank on that is the real Wheeler. You know, I thought DeGrom was 1, and I thought Wheeler was 1A in the second half. They were that good, and he was that good. I guess I've been a little surprised, although I understand it from Wheeler's aspect that, you know, he's going to be a free agent, and there's, you know, what's the rush in signing a contract? But I know he likes it here. He got engaged in the offseason. He likes New York. He likes his teammates. And there hasn't been much talk. You know, I know they have to get DeGrom done. There hasn't been a lot of talk at all about signing Wheeler. And again, maybe there's not interest on his side simply because they're that close to free agency. But you know, I would investigate that. I mean, if he's for real,
well, if he gets to June or July and he's dealing, I'm sure then there'll be some talk. You know,
maybe, yeah, maybe. But I listen. You look at this kid, and you always felt that he could pitch and put it together. You just didn't know whether he was going to be the kind who nibbled a lot like he tends to do sometimes. But he didn't in the second half. He went after hitters. I think he has his confidence now. He's just
well. He was great. He was great the second
half.
He's
tremendous. He's another good guy that you would like to keep.
No,
on the team.
Very good kid. I happen to know him a little bit, and he's. I've been around him. He's a very nice guy. He's a great guy, Zach.
He really is.
And then of course you got Syndergaard in the middle, who could be anything. I could be. You know, last year Terry said to me, mark my words, he's going to win the Cy Young. Maybe he was a year early, because he said last year that Syndergaard was going to win it and DeGrom won it. Now maybe this is Syndergaard's year. Syndergaard's definitely capable of being a Cy Young winner, that's for sure.
And there's no question about that. He's he seems determined this year too. Listen, I think the one thing that you look at with the Stars, Matt's too. Like, Matt's is in a pretty good frame of mind down here. I was talking to him a little bit.
I can't put Matt's with the other three. I love Matt's, but I can't put him with the other three. He hasn't earned that.
I think he has to. He has to do more, improve more, and also stay healthy too, and avoid the little injuries that keep cropping up with him. But I think his head is in a better place.
He's a good guy, Matt. He really is. Another good guy. Their pitchers are good guys. They really are. I mean, but who's the fifth starter? Not Vargas, right?
Oh yes.
No,
that was made eminently clear today.
That Vargas is the fifth starter. See, I don't like that.
He said he was asked, "Is Jason Vargas your fifth starter?" And he said he is definitely our fifth starter. So there you go.
I guess they didn't watch last season.
he pitched better in the second half.
You couldn't pitch worse, Eddie.
That's very true. That is very true. I would say this. I think the one thing that you have to – it's a great rotation. If they're healthy and they go out there every 5 days, you know that they'll get the job done. They all can pitch, the four of them anyway. Okay?
And they got some good guys. Like Lugo's a really valuable guy to have on the team too.
Yep,
very valuable guy.
I'll give you a guy in a second who they should think of, or at least maybe talk to. But anyway, my point was about the starters. Here's the one thing I guess that would worry me a little bit. When you average out the number of starts that they had last year, I think it came out to 28 or 29, the four of them, okay? I know Syndergaard missed some.
That's pretty good.
But that is pretty good. Now, but here's the thing. Can that happen again? You know, do you see that often 2 years in a row?
No.
No, you don't. So if so, then that means they're going to have to dip down, and who do you have to dip down to?
Good question. Gesellman, Lugo.
I think they want to keep those guys.
Both of them in the pen.
They would do it, but I think they want to keep them in the pen. I was talking about this guy today, and again, I don't think it's going to happen simply because the opportunity if Vargas is here and they're not going to do anything with him and he is going to be in the rotation, they're not going to do it. But Gio Gonzalez to me would be a great sign for them. Because he is another guy that you'd love to plunk into that clubhouse because he's well liked by everybody in baseball. I don't know how much Gio has left, but I do know this: if you look at his numbers at Citi Field, again, he was pitching against the Mets, but he is ridiculous.
He killed the Mets at Citi Field.
Like 11-1 or 12-1.
Yeah, killed them. Killed them.
Ridiculous.
But they always killed the Mets, though. They always killed
them up here. But my point is that. And again, it's against the Mets, but and he's going to face somebody else if he's with the Mets. But the point is, he seems to, you know, have Citi Field work for him. Let's put that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, he was always great there.
You know, here's the thing. You know, Gio's probably looking for a couple of year deal. I don't know if they'd give him that.
That's a good idea. I mean, it does make sense.
He's not. You know, to me, he's not going to go to the minor league. You got it. You know, Vargas is going to start the season. You've got to go to AAA. I don't know if that's going to work. But I would love to see a guy like that here. I think he would help them.
All right, Eddie. Thanks. We'll chat along the way. Thank you.
All right, Mike. You got it.
All right. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. That's Eddie in Port St. Lucie, where it is raining today. But, hey, it's raining, but it's 60. So, hey, better than here. But you know what? Soon it'll be sunshine in both places. Sometime. Soon. Back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.